Blog Talk Radio.
Caroline right now, in the name of Jesus, huh?
Excuse me? Caroline. Prophetess. Prophetess.
Yes, Levy.
All right now.
Can you hear me?
Knock. my girlfriend that's Jamaican, she say, I love you, knock-knock, Angela. Me love you, knock-knock.
Amen.
Amen.
How you feeling? How you feeling?
I'm holding on. You know, I'm fighting it. I'm not staying still. I'm moving forward. I will not allow that infection to slow me down. I got work to do for the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Bless God. It's just a privilege to still be able to be here. You know, even when our bodies are, you know, going through some things, isn't it awesome how God still allows us to use our mouth? Because I am on the air tonight from the comforts of my bed because I am under weather as well. But, you know, God is still good. Yes, I am. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know.
You didn't say anything today,
because Lovey, I know how you are. You love on me so much, and so you know you want to sound like my kids. Well, why don't you just do, you know, should we do that? No, I'm gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine, and we're gonna so we're gonna crush some serpent's heads tonight in the name of Jesus. And we're going to encourage some people tonight in the name of Jesus. And we're going to tell opposition that you are not just an, you are not an opposition, that you are an opportunity. So with that, we're going to go ahead into prayer. You ready to pray, Levy? I'm ready.
I'm ready, Lord.
Pray.
I'm ready.
Okay. Bless God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this awesome opportunity. Father God, we thank you. We do not take it lightly, Lord God, because we know that now is the time, Father, for us to stand up, for us to arise and for us to just get on the wall and the gate, Father, and to speak what thus says the Lord. We thank you, Father God, that every tool that you have made available to us to preach the word of God, to speak the word of God, to encourage your people, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the airways. We thank you for making way for us, Lord God. And so we don't take it lightly, Father. So we said, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Holy Ghost, come in. Have your perfect will, have your perfect way. Holy Ghost, you be the speaker. Holy Ghost, we decree and declare in the name of Jesus that healing is already being done, Father, in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that the hearts and minds are open to receive what thus says the Lord. And we thank you already for the opposition, Father, because we know that through those oppositions, Father God, our character is being steadily built. So we bless God. We bless you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord God. Amen, amen, amen.
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 Well, we both under the weather, and you know me, I would have canceled the show because I wouldn't want you go through enough already. But I thank God that we decided to come on here, and I hope that it can be one person that I encourage, or we encourage, because we are not a separate entity, that we encourage, that we build, or even to show them something about themselves so that they can make a change. It'll be awesome.
Right.
It'll just be awesome.
Right.
You got the topic. You want to go first, Lovey?
Okay. Yeah, sure. You know, what the Lord was showing me is that through opposition, that's actually an opportunity for us to grow, because it doesn't matter we're always going to face opposition. And, you know, one of the things that really hurt us the most is that when we are faced with opposition within our families, within our loved ones, the ones that we, you know, that we love on. But, you know, when we are doing the will of God, when we are doing the work of God, those things are going to come. And so that's when that warrior in us has to stand up and say, hey, listen, this is what God says, and this is how, you know, this is how it has to be. We cannot make excuses. We can't make, we can't water it down. We can't separate, you know, this from that. It has to be what it is. And so in this hour, God is calling us to really step up and be girded in his word, because as he, you know, moves us forward, we're going to face opposition. Some people are going to just object everything that you say. You know what I mean? It's like being in a court, you know, and in this hour, everybody wants to be a judge, You know what I mean? And everybody wants to give the sentence, and we're so busy judging other folks that we're not looking at our own lives. And so, you know, with that opposition type thing, you know, everybody wants to object, you know, to what we say. Even when they know that it's the word of God, it's always an objection there. And so, and you know, we have to be mindful that everybody is not on the same page. You know, we're not here to, God doesn't send us to make, you know, people feel bad. You know, he wants us to encourage them, but we have to remember, you know, sometimes people play that old war is me type thing. And because we have a love for people, you know, we can't allow that to cloud our judgment. We have got to be able to stand on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and be able to face those oppositions, you know, when we're speaking the word of God and doing those things that he calls us to do. You know, people become resistant towards us. They become hostile, you know, things like that. And they don't approve of anything. You know, it's like being, you know, on a job and we're constantly doing the right thing, you know, and you always have that coworker that always can find, you know, your pencil is out of place or your notepad is supposed to be on this side or your computer is not cleaned off enough and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's always some kind of, you know, disapprove of everything that we do. And so in this hour, as God continued to reveal himself, because that's what he's doing with all of everything that's happening in the earth. He's constantly revealing himself. And so as he reveals himself, he's raising up those who are willing to be obedient according to his word. He's raising up prophets and teachers and evangelists and laymen. He's raising those people up. He's raising us up. But as he raised us up, let's just say I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say this morning as I was watching, he said, don't you know, as 100 people, well, as God raises us up, he said, 100 people may like on you, may love you. He said, but then right there beside it, 100 more people going to be hating on you. He said, and then as you go up higher, 200 people going to be loving you, and then 200 more people going to be hating on you. You know what I mean? And so it goes hand in hand. It becomes equal, but you have to be able to stand in the face of adversity. You have to be able to deal with opposition, because if you don't allow the opposition, if you don't allow yourself to grow throughout the opposition, then the higher God takes you, you won't be able to deal whenever the storms come. And some storms are just so subtle. You know what I mean? You know how you have a little storm and it just rains a little bit and the trees blow just a little bit. You know, we're like, oh, okay, we good. And then as soon as the storm hits real hard and, you know, the trees start swerving real hard and it's thundering and lightning, and you know, like me, I want to turn the lights off and turn the TV off. So, we get to that place. We're like, okay, Jesus, I hear you. You know, and I used to be like that, you know, because we were raised like that. You know, you God is working, and so you honor that. You turn everything off. That's how our grandma was, you know what I mean? And so I grew up with the mentality thinking, okay, when it's storming, and I did my kids the same way, when it's storming, you know, everybody just hush and listen to God, you know what I mean? And so when it gets like that, I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. But when that oppositions come through those storms like that, if we could just stand on the word of God, and trust the fact that it doesn't matter if 50 people love us, you know what I mean, and 50 people hate us, they all weighed in together. That means I must be doing right according to God for him to bring those 50 people to us. And then after those 50 people come, another 100 more come. Can you imagine how many people are going to come our way because of the light of Christ that's shining in us, because we were able to stand through those oppositions? We didn't fold, you know what I mean? We're not a box. We didn't fold. We didn't run and hide in the cave or anything like that when things came our way. We just stood on the word of God. And like I said from the beginning, it's harder when we deal with, you know, those in our family who don't understand, you know, what we do. You know, we might have to give a word to our children, you know what I mean, or to our husbands or to our kids or to just a family member, period. You know, this is what God says. And I believe you and I shared that way, way back when we were going through some things, you know, and we were sharing about some things. Whenever we tell people that and they say, well, you know, they don't want to receive it, and then they get mad at us, or don't get mad at me, that, you know what I mean? This is what thus says the Lord, and it's up to you, right? It's up to that person to receive that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit down and say, okay, I don't want to be a prophetess anymore because, you know, my child didn't receive the word of the Lord. No, that's not how that works. When you receive, when God places you in a position, when he gives you a way, when he gives an assignment, just be ready for the opposition that's going to come, because if it's going to come, this is not a smooth sailing. You don't just get to sit back and chill and don't have to deal with things. You're going to have to deal with things. You're going to have to deal with people hating on you. You're going to have to deal with people talking about you. You're going to have to deal with people stabbing you in the back. You're going to have to deal with all of that stuff. But God says that he will never leave or forsake us. And it doesn't matter what, at the end of the day, Psalms 91 said that he is my protector. He is our protector. And so in this hour, we need to be ready to stand in the face of opposition. Well, how are we going to do that? The only way we can do that is if we feed our spirits. We have to feed our spirits the word of God. Other than that, every time something comes our way, we'll be ready to run. We'll be ready to hide. We don't want to preach no more. We don't want to teach no more. We don't want to sing no more. We don't want to give a word no more. We don't even want to pray for folks no more, because we let the opposition overpower us, you know, and it had us running in fear. You can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. We're either going to operate in faith or we're going to operate in fear. And so what God is saying now in this hour, we are going. The bottom line is you can't go around it. We are going to be faced with opposition. What he wants to know is, can he trust us in this hour to do what he say do without compromising? That's what he wants to know. Can he trust us to complete the assignment without compromising? Can he trust us to go out in the community and do the things that, you know, minister to the people? Can he trust us? Can he trust us with those things when it seemed like we're being beat down? You know, can he trust us to still get back up and stand on his word? So that's what God was talking to me about when he gave me the word opposition. You know, just like Jesus, he was dealing with opposition, but he had to go, because he had the will of the Father in mind. Moses had the same thing. He had to deal with the opposition of the people. Everybody, you know, I look at it like this. Look at the prophets and look at the people in the Bible of the old days. What if they had given, what if Abraham hadn't given up? There wouldn't have been no seed if Abraham hadn't given up. And we wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? If he had gave up because he faced opposition, then there would be no seed of David. There wouldn't be no Jesus. That would be us. We wouldn't even be here to tell nobody about salvation, because Abraham, the seed, would have given up. You know what I mean? God probably would have used somebody else. But at the same token, what if the people in the word, you know, in the Bible had given up every time they faced opposition? Don't you know when through opposition comes victory? That's the way I look at it. Through my opposition comes victory. Regardless of what I face, I'm going to be victorious in this. You can talk about me all you want to, but I'm going to be victorious in this. You can grin in my face all you want to, but I'm going to be victorious in this. You can stab me in my back all you want to, but I'm going to be victorious in this, and I'm going to keep on pressing on. And that's what we have to do. We have to press on, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about what we feel. It's about what God says. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I'm feeding on all that you're saying, because that's some of the stuff that the Lord gave me today. And we Amen. Are, as you said, we're going to face opposition. And as you said, it's going to be family members. We're going to have opposition in our ministry. You said basically that. We're going to have opposition from those that are at work and they're nitpicking. Because I go through that time. I think we all go through that. And as you said, the people of old faced opposition. Nehemiah is my greatest candidate for opposition. And he had any time that you have a great work to do, or you decided that you want to do something for the Lord, you're going to find that people are going to come up against you. You're going to lose your people that you thought was your best friends. You're going to lose family members. You're going to lose things. You're going to lose, sometimes you're going to lose your job. Things are going to happen because, you know, we have an adversary. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the greatest thing is that our Jesus, my Lord and Savior, your Lord and Savior, came that we may have life and abundance. And something you said, Lovey, even in the greatest opposition, we still have a comforter. We still have a counselor. We still have the Holy Spirit. We have that precious commodity in us. We have strength to go on. But you know what, Lovey? Also, God, and we can get back to opposition from other people, because we are going to experience that. And James told us, I think it's strange that you go through trials of many kinds. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through stuff. We're going to have arguments in our marriage. Come on. When you have a good marriage, Satan does not like family, or he does not like marriage. And if there's any open door, that's why you've got to keep loving on your husband. everything is good because you don't want a foothold. You got to be careful not to be angry because things aren't going your way. Because when you get angry, that's a doorway for the enemy. And that's what we do. Sometimes we get angry because things aren't going our way. We're losing everything. People are turning against us. Hey, it happened to Jesus. So sometimes we think we're above Jesus. And God, you know what's so amazing? In my many years of ministry, I've heard so many people say, and sometimes I'm amazed at the foolishness I tolerate and say okay to that I co-sign. I heard many people say, oh, God, this ain't God. God would never do this to me. And I fell for that. But know what happened to Job. God said that Job was an upright man. Come on now. He was living right. But God allowed opposition to come to him. Why? Because for a time such as this, so that we can make through, so God can prove himself. Come on. Because at the end of his trials, because opposition is trials, and going through, God gave him double for his trouble. And you know what? And the sinning friends that turned their back and talk ism schism, talk keeping it real, because you know your friends don't talk about you. Come on.
Yeah.
Because they did it to Jesus, they did it to Job. Come on. He had to pray for them. So in the midst of opposition and people turning their backs on you, sometimes God will have those same people to come back and apologize, and you have to pray for them. So you always have to keep an open mind. You always have to not to walk in anger and bitterness. Look at Joseph. He did not walk in bitterness and anger towards his brother because he knew he was going through a certain situation for a time such as this. I believe that God ain't got time to fool around and play around with foolishness. So he is not going to allow his children to go through unnecessary stuff. Everything works together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. No, not my purpose, his purpose. Now, let me get into what God shared with me, lovey. He told me, Angela, you can be your greatest critic and you can oppose yourself. I said, huh? You can oppose yourself by doing the things that contrary to me. You can oppose yourself by being stubborn, by walking in anger, walking in unforgiveness. You could be your greatest opponent by fighting. We worry about Stephen, but how about Angela? Come on.
Right,
Paul had that same situation. Paul had an issue. Paul said, and this is a different version, in Romans 7, 15 through 17. He says, wait, I can't understand myself at all. Probably the Message version. For I really want to do what is right, but I can't. Why? Because he had a problem in the flesh. I do what I want. I don't want to do what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong. But my bad conscience proven that I agree with these laws that I'm breaking. But I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin in me that is stronger than I. And that makes me do the evil things that I do. Oh, my Lord. God said to me, daughter, you can oppose yourself by doing things contrary to my word. I was talking to this apostle, and he said to me, you know what? Women are my weak point. And I don't fool around in having conversation with women. When I'm on Facebook and they hit me up, and he says, they send me all kinds of body parts, I tell them off and I block them. He said to me that Joseph, and this really blew my mind, he said that Joseph knew his weakness. He said that when Potiphar's wife attacked Joseph, what did Joseph do? Joseph runs and left his car. We are our greatest hindrance. We choose to walk in unforgiveness. We choose to be bitter. We don't want people to get away with anything, so we say, we don't think that this person deserves it. I hear so many people that say that. I wish the buck would hit them. We walk around bitter and resentful. We don't want to, listen, we don't want to encourage and build each other. I'm going to tell you something that my daughter and me share. Okay, I share on Facebook, right? And one day, and I have read a post. And as I read the post, I said, well, she got enough likes already. So I ain't going to encourage. I ain't going to do that. The Holy Spirit said, excuse me? See, we don't want to encourage and build others because we might be a little jealous. We might be a little sarcastic. Come on now. We don't want to encourage and push each other forward. And my daughter said the same thing happened to her, and she rebuked it. Because you know what? We're not here to tear down. We're here to encourage. We're not here to say, oh, you know what? She got enough likes already, or she's this, or she's that. We got issues within, because that was an issue within me. Because if I didn't have an issue, I would just like that and keep it moving. Right, Keisha? But because the enemy don't want unity, because the enemy don't want us to walk in love and encourage and build, come on now, he will bring things to our minds. And you know what? We're so foolish, we sign and co-sign with him. So many times, we as people co-sign with the devil because he makes suggestions. And when he makes suggestions, we co-sign with it and follow suit to him, becoming the enemy of Angela, becoming the enemy of my ministry, becoming the enemy of my family. Because when I fall short in areas, come on now, it's going to affect only not only me, but it's going to affect things around me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to always affect things around me. Now, if I walk around with bitterness, repeat this, y'all, I'm going to walk around with bitterness, and then when my daughter or my son approach me because I have anger issues, because I'm dealing with some things, because you know what? Anger can stay dormant. Bitterness can stay dormant, thinking that you're free. But if anything occurs, come on, that triggers it, now, listen, you're going to explode. Now, you're in your home, and you're walking in anger and bitterness, and your children who are going through, maybe they're going through emotionally, because I have a son that he goes through. And if I don't be careful about what I say to him, sometimes it tears him down. I'm keeping it real. So now, if I'm a bitter mother, an angry mother, my son that suffers with depression, come on, when I don't be careful and walk in love, the agape love, and when I'm angry and I say, get away from me, boy, come on, y'all get on my nerves. See how your anger is spilling over in your family, come on, and it's causing issues in your family. You open up doors to Satan. And now, come on now. Now, your son is feeling down and out. I've been here, so I can talk about it plain and bold. Now, your son is feeling away. He's feeling resentment towards you because he feels like, you know, I can't talk to my mom because she's walking in bitterness now. And that's why I'm so open, and that's why I preach the agape love. The agape love, come on. The agape love looks over things. It does not keep record of wrong. The agape love makes sure that everybody else is taken care of. The agape love looks out for itself. It don't keep records of it. It don't look out for its own, but it looks out for those around us. We can be our greatest adversary. We can walk around being ignorant if we want and blame Satan for everything. Say, that's not for the devil, the blood of Jesus. No, that's Angela that needs to check herself and internalize things and see things as they really are. But the one thing that I love about Jesus, he's not going to leave us where we at. So when we internalize, come on, and when we see ourselves, and we see ourselves walking in bitterness, we see ourselves walking in resentment, we see ourselves walking in unforgiveness, we have someone that we can go to. We can call upon Jesus. And you know, he says that when you call upon him, he will hear you and he will answer. Let me tell you one thing about the God that we serve. If we're looking for ourselves for the kingdom, he's right there. If we're walking in his will and his purpose, he's right there. He's an awesome God, a mighty God. Come on now. We don't have to walk about feeling down, feeling out of it, because we got an advocate. Come on. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. I'm in love with my Father, because you know what? I was oppressed. I was depressed. I was a drinker. I was angry. I was resentful. I didn't want to forgive my ex for hurting me. But the Lord Jesus came by and showed me that I was was my greatest enemy. One day he said, knock, knock. And I was like, knock, knock. I said, what's that about? He says, you are your greatest enemy. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as our greatest enemy because Paul said, the good that I want to do, I cannot do because what? Sin dwells in me. I ain't talking about knocking boots. I ain't talking about stealing. I'm talking about the inner man with unforgiveness and bitterness. That's the worst thing. And if you don't let go and let God, come on, unforgiveness is your ticket to nowhere. So we got to really internalize. So that's what God showed me, lovely. He showed me that I can be my worst enemy. I can be my worst enemy. I can stop myself from growing and progressing. I can destroy my family. Listen to me. We as women, we got the key to a lot of things. Come on. We got the key to a lot of things. We can either tear our house down or we can build our house up. We can tear our men down. I don't got one, but it's okay right now in my life. But it's okay. It's okay. We can either tear our man down or we can build him up. What are we going to do? We can build our children up, or we can tear them down. What are we going to do? Are we going to be the enemy of our family, our enemy of our ministry, our enemy to ourselves? Or we are going to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves and call upon the name of Jesus? There's so much help for us. There's so much help for us. And you know, I tell it like a CIA is. It's so much help for us. We just got to reach out to the counselor. We just got to reach out to our Father, and he will help us. Okay, lovey, you can get back to the other our adversaries now. But he was just dealing with me. I always want to internalize before I externalize. And that's what you started out saying. You know what? People are so busy looking at others and judging others, and they don't see their pride. They don't see their anger. They don't see their bitterness. It's so easy. And you know what? I know it's easy. Because Matthew told us, he said, you know what? Slow your roll. Take the plank out of your own eye before you can take that sawdust out of your brother's eye. So initially, right there, God is saying, you can be so deceived, thinking that you're okay. Come on, because you have this, you can't see past your nose because you got all your stuff up in your face, but you can peep over and peep your brother doing stuff.
Right. What's it?
Isn't that true?
That's true.
We have to internalize before we can externalize. And
that's true.
So true.
That's true, you know, and a lot, as you were saying about, you know, dealing with ourselves, and that's what I was mentioning, like I said in the beginning, really, you know, what's happening, you know, the more hurt that we're, you know, that's laying doormat in us, we're only passing that stuff on, you know what I mean? And we're the first ones that say, oh, we need to break the generational curses. Well, first we need to have that thing broken in us. Because
that's
it's
right.
Laying in us, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, we're quick to point out what spirit is operating in someone else. And, you know, and I'm sure God is saying, well, what spirit is that operating in you? You know, and so, you know, when we don't allow ourselves to be healed, when we don't allow ourselves to be healed, all we're doing is we're ministering out of hurt to other people. And as we all hear, hurt people hurt other people. And that is so very true, because we'll find ourselves ministering. But then, you know, it kind of gets twisted, and you're like, okay, are you ministering from the Spirit of the Lord, or are you ministering from your emotions? You know what I mean? And it's because some hurt. There's
some hurt
that's down in there. Yeah, that's hurt that we haven't allowed God to deal with. It took a long time for me to get to that place. Excuse me. I'm sorry, lovey. It took me a long time to get to that place. Because, okay, we twins doing that. Okay. But anyway, it took me a long time to get to that place because I thought I had moved past that when I had to encounter the abuse. I thought I had a particular abuse from a particular person. And I thought I had was healed from that, and because I hadn't been back home. And so I didn't have to deal with that. I didn't have to see the person, blah, blah, blah. I was good with that. And when I went home for my great-grandmother's homegoing service, I encountered this person, and I did not realize that hurt, that pain was still there. until I was confronted with this person, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, I really thought, and, I mean, I had been in ministry a while, too, you know, so I just knew
you, it can be dormant until something happens to show you.
Exactly, and that's what God showed me. And so when I came back home, I just bawled out crying. I said, God, forgive me. I thought I was past that, and that's when the Lord showed me that, you know what, it's easy for us to say that we have forgiven someone. It's easy for us to say that those things doesn't bother us anymore until we are actually confronted with that person or that particular situation. That's when it takes the power of God, because that hurt goes so deep. You know what I mean? And that's an opposition within ourselves, because we can't, you know, we can't talk about, you know, forgiving somebody, you know, tell people about how to forgive somebody else about something when we haven't even learned to forgive others who hurt us. It takes the power of God to really, you know, to really do his work within us in order for us to be free of that. That's a bondage that a lot of us don't see as being bondage. There's a lot of fear there because, you know, you don't want to face, you know, everything. And the Lord had me go back, and he just had me just pray and just pour out as how I was feeling. I mean, he just said, lay it all out. And, lovey, I laid it all out. I mean, every single thing, how I felt, you know, towards that person. And, I mean, just everything.
Awesome.
And the Lord, it was like a new, a rejuvenation, a new me. And so now when I talk to people about forgiveness, you know what I mean? First of all, the Lord allowed me to look at, he showed me as the weeks passed, you know, a lot of the things that I had, you know, that I looked at from my perspective, he showed me how to look at from his perspective. When we begin to open ourselves up and allow God to do surgery, to perform surgery on us and scrape all that stuff out that shouldn't be there on inside of us, he begins to pour fresh stuff, fresh oil inside of us, because,
that's,
you know,
right,
the old oil
right,
won't work.
Right.
He begins to pour the fresh oil inside of us, and then we're able to operate more effectively, because we're not operating out of our emotions. We're not operating out of that hurt. We're not operating out of that pain. You know what I mean? Because what God showed me is that there's no way I could effectively minister to rape victims if I have not been healed myself, if I have not given that person over to God, myself. You know what I mean? Because if that was the case, then what would happen is every time the Lord sends someone to me who has been sexually abused, I would pour out of what I've been through, but not as a way of encouraging them or supporting them or, you know, giving them hope, but out of a way of pain. And before you know it, I'm speaking against, you know, when I'm supposed to be giving the word of God, when I'm healing, you know, speaking words of healing. And so that's what God showed me. The more he performs the surgery on us, he scrapes all of that unforgiveness out. He scrapes all of that fear out. He scrapes all that hate and envy out that we have towards one another. You know, some of us have been hurt from people, you know, just by words alone. And that thing, and we know that words cut. They do. They cut real deep.
They do.
And sometimes
they cut deeply.
And sometimes words can cut more deeper than a hand fist. You know what I mean? Because
it just lays there.
You know,
One of my relationships, Lovey, I said to this dude, man, you know what? I would have preferred you to punch me in my face than to just say those words that you just said.
Because they cut.
Because
they cut deep.
They cut. They cut. They really cut.
Yeah.
All over the place, and until we gonna bleed all over people.
Right, right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so that's why we have to be, you know, we have to have our faith before God. You know, I mean, and so much is in the Word of God that we can feed from. And for us to find our healing, it is in the Word of God and spending time with him. Because it doesn't matter how many, you know, how many preachers we go see or how many teachers we go see. If we're not listening to the voice of God ourselves, he is the one who does the delivering. The people, we're only the vessels. That's all we are. We're the vessels. And so what
we
have to do is
we
have to make sure that the people know. Because, you know, hurt people cling to people. It's like an addict. You know what I mean? An addict, they need another fix, and so they go to get another fix. They go to get the drug of their choice. Well, with addictions, It's the same thing. If you are pulling away from some sort of drug addiction or some sort of sex addiction or some sort of whatever kind of addiction, if you're pulling away from that and then you hear you have somebody that comes along and they get so attached to you that they can't live without you, they can't breathe without you, and, you know, that they're making you their God. And so they have become addicted to us. We should be showing them the way to the Lord so that the Lord can be the
way
one
to Christ.
Who heals them. The way to Christ, exactly. So God can be the one who heals them, because you know, people who have addiction issues, people who have addiction issues, always they clean. They like I remember I was telling you about that before. You know, as God was weaning me from the world and weaning me from the drug use, you know, I already liked men, and so before every time you turn around, God was this man was coming, and God was pulling me away. And this man was coming, and God was pulling me away. And God, and another man was coming, and God was pulling me away.
So,
like, you know,
that when you are addictive, you can become codependent.
Exactly.
You can substitute your addiction. See, people don't know that. You can substitute.
Right.
You can say, well, you know what? I'm done with alcohol, but then we become people pleasers.
Right,
we want to be people, or you can become a sex addiction, a food addiction. We can substitute
right.
and think that we're healed and delivered, and actually we are not. We're just playing the substitution game. And when you become addicted to people, you got to constantly wear masks. You got to constantly be different individual, because the same person that maybe pleased Pastor Keisha, now I can't be the same person that pleases you, Lovey. So that when I go with Pastor Keisha, I got to put on a mask. And when I go with you, I got to put on another mask. And then you know what? I'm becoming my own adversary. I'm opposing myself because I'm so addicted to pleasing people.
Right, exactly. And thank you for bringing that word to Bernie. Yeah, the codependent, because I couldn't get it out of my mouth.
Okay, excellent.
For,
we work well together, girl. We work well together.
Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, God is so awesome. You know, I love how he just strategically does things, you know, and with his word, he uses, you know, the least. I was listening to a song today, the other day again. He saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I was listening to that again. I absolutely love that song, and it reminds me that regardless of what path I had taken, and so this is for someone, regardless of what path you have taken or have taken, there is nothing that God can't wipe your slate clean from. All you have to do is surrender
Amen.
Yourself to him. Repent of those things. Repent doesn't mean to just say, I'm sorry. You know, you have to be remorseful. You have to really want to have a desire to turn away from those things and walk away from those things. Now, the thing is, as you walk away, oppositions will come to try to deter you back to your old ways. That's why it's so important to spend time with the Lord. That's why it's so important to fast and to pray and to seek the face of God so that you can hear God's voice. Because as you are walking in a new direction, oppositions are going to come from the left, from the right, from the north, from the south. But you're going to have to make up in your mind that I'm not folding. I'm not bending. I'm not going back. I am pressing on towards the high calling, which is the goal, which is Christ Jesus. I'm seeking for Jesus Christ. I'm seeking to be seated at the throne with the Father at his feet, land on his feet. I'm seeking to be seated in heavenly places with him. I'm seeking to do the will of the Lord. And so when you just continue to feed yourself, feed your spirit the word of God, declare it, or you don't have to wait till you get in somebody's prophetic line. You got the word of God right there with you, your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. Nowadays, you can pull it up on the internet. If we can pull up Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace, we sure can pull up the word of God. And so the word of God is there for everybody to pick it up.
Amen.
If you need some help understanding it, ask God to send those people your way. We're here to help you, to help get you through that hurt, to help get you through that pain. We're there to encourage you as you face opposition. And we're not going to tell you, oh, well, just get saved and everything's going to be all right. The roses are going to be red all the time. No, it don't work like that. Your faith is going to grow. your strength is going to grow as you stand strong on the word of God. So when you stand strong on the word of God and those oppositions come, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'm telling you, God has he has your back, your front, your side, however way you want to call it. He has you covered. But don't think that, okay, when I go in here, everything is going to be lovely. No opposition is going to come. But your faith, don't let your faith fail on you. People, we are here to encourage you. We are here to love on you. We're here to help you through whatever it is that you go through, because we have been there, and so we understand how it is to feel shut out. We understand how it feels to be knocked down, even by those who are closest to you. We understand how it feels to be out of money, out of food, out of a car, out of a house. We understand all of that. How it feels to go through depression. I understand all of that, but I also understand and know how to come out of it. And the only way to come out of it is through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Truly, surely, that's the truth. And we are here to love on you. I believe strongly in loving a person through their storms, loving a person through their situation. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love you, your situation. And because you know why? Because God did it for me. He never beat me down. He kept it wooing me with love. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. And I thank God for that. And that's what I want to extend to anybody that's going through anything right now. With loving kindness have he drawn you. He loves us. And he's so slow to anger. He's not a God that's quick to be angry. He wants none of us to perish. So he's always wooing us. In every opposition that we face, he is with us. Isaiah says when we go through the waters, he's right there with us. When we go through the fire, he's right there. When all the people of old was going through, I remember the Bible says in most of the cases I heard, it says, and the Lord was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same God that was with them is with
us.
And yes, we're going to have hard times. We're going to go through, but we are never alone. And you know, in the world, I felt so abandoned. This is before I truly committed to God many years ago, more than 15. I felt like I wanted to quit. I had young children, and I was not a proper parent. I was depressed and oppressed and drinking and closet drinking. And my daughter, who was 8 years old, was being a parent to my one-year-old. Come on. So and God came into my room, and he ministered to me. And he told me, don't allow the spirit of suicide to take me out. We cannot see past our nose when we are caught up in oppression and depression, but all we got to do is call out, and I was calling out, and I have never been the same since an encounter with Jesus. I made mistakes. I'm not perfect. I did things that I'm sure God was truly displeased with, but I never left the fold. Let me tell you something. Don't matter how it may look, don't give up on church. Don't give up on ministry. Don't give up on the Lord. Stay with the Lord. I believe in that, because if you stay, be like a Jonah and run away from your mission because of rebellion and disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's right.
Stay with you. If you fell down, get up.
Get back up. That's
off.
Right. That's right.
Don't ever stay down. Don't stay in the slumps. You have greater things ahead of you. Come on, you are going to have opposition in families and in your family and your ministry, but God is building you. He's creating these things and allowing these things to happen to build a strong you. I was so stupid sensitive that everything that somebody said to me, I will cry. And the things that I was once stupid sensitive to, if you say to me now, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going on with Jesus. So each opposition that I encountered made me even stronger. Anything, if you're going through illness, if you're going through financial hardship, when you come out, you're going to be strong because you've been there and God brought you, so you can tell somebody else. That's significant,
right?
That when you go through, you come through for somebody else, not for yourself.
Right.
This war ain't about self. This war is kingdom. And it's about my brothers and my sisters. If you read the Bible, it says to pray for one another. God always encourages us to love on one another. He's encouraged us to pray for one another, lift one another up, carry each other, carry each other's burdens. Come on. And yes, it is an individual walk, but it's also a corporate walk. We got to remember that. This walk is not only about us. And you know what's so amazing that we've got to remember? It's not only about my brother and my sister. It's about my seed. It's about my children, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh and the generation after that. Because if I instill goodness and I instill the commandments and how to live right in my children, in turn, they will do it to their children and their children's children until Jesus breaks the sky.
That's right. That's
generation
right. That is
after
so right.
Generation with
yes.
righteous people. So encourage.
Yes.
I encourage you to take your children to church and train them in the way that they may go. Because
right, right.
at an early age, teach them to trust God. At an early age, teach them to love on God and God to,
yeah.
and tell them that God loves them and encourage them.
Right.
So that
That's
they will
right.
be better individuals and they will know that they are loved. That Jesus loved them so much that he gave up his one life that he had here on earth. He gave it up for us.
Right.
And God gave his only begotten son for us. Because he loves us that much. We are the apple
Amen.
Of his eye. And
yes,
he will
Lord.
Not allow opposition to destroy you. He says, I have a plan and a purpose and a hope for you. Not to harm you. It might look like you're being harmed. The ship might be going back and forth. The storms and the rain might be coming. You're pressed on every side. But it's not, no way to harm you. It's to build you and bring you to maturity.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. It really is. I love how you said that when you're speaking about because what we go through is not for us, and I believe that's where we get caught up in it sometimes. You know, it's what we went through is not for us. God saved us for a purpose. We have a purpose. If you're still here, and you're on this earth, you are here. For a purpose. It doesn't matter, you know, it's not about how, you know, how big your trial was back in the day or how little it was. A trial is a trial. And so if the Lord brought you through it, he brought you through it for a purpose because he knew that somebody was going to need to hear that testimony. And so we need to get out of that mentality, you know what I mean, that I don't have a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have a purpose in the earth, and it may not be behind the pulpit. Everybody is not called to be behind the pulpit. It can be, you can be, your purpose can be right there in your home to minister to your family, to raise your children under the unction of the Holy Spirit, to raise your children in the Word of God, to teach them where to go, how to go, what to do, what not to do, according to the Word of God. And so I do believe that, you know, everyone has a purpose. It may not be, you know, all in the same office or the gift, but we all have the purpose of, you know, sharing Christ with the world. That's our purpose. Our mouth is our purpose, to speak the word of God, to encourage others, to lead them to the cross, to lead them to Jesus. And so we have to be, you know, mindful of that when we're thinking about everything that we've been through. Some people, you know, some of us, God has to nudge us, you know, just to remind us, hey, I brought you out, you know what I mean, for a purpose. And that's okay, you know, but you don't want to be rebellious against God. So when he starts calling on you, you know, our first response needs to be a yes. Yes, Lord, I'm here. You know, yes,
Amen.
Lord, I'm here.
Amen.
You know, what do I need to do?
That's
what do I need to do? Where you need
Amen.
Me to go? What do I need to say? You know, how do I need to say it? You know what I mean? Pray for them. If he send you to someone to minister to, first thing I do is, okay, I pray and ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to say? How do you use me the way you want me to use me? And then I pray for the person who's sending me to say their hearts are open to receive it. You know what I mean? And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit is already operating within that realm because I've already asked God to touch the heart of that person. Now, a lot, sometimes people know that we're coming to pray for them and minister to them, and they still may not receive it. That's not up to us. You know, to make a big deal about that because we've done our assignment. We've done what God told us to do. And so once we've done that, we leave it in the hands of the Lord and let him do his perfect will. But we continue to pray for them. So we all have a purpose, even if it's just praying. Prayer is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And so if God has called you to be an intercessor, to pray for people, to pray for country, to pray for nations, then you need to be on your gate. You need to be on your wall. This time that we're living in, it ain't no joke. It's for real. Things are happening, and people are getting all surprised, but I don't know why you're surprised if you read your word, because it's coming, it's in the word, and so therefore we need to be on our gatepost. We need to be, you know, gatekeepers. You need to take your post, man your post, intercessors, be on guard, you know what I mean? Pray, pray according to the will of God, not our prayers, because we can say what we want to say, but pray according to the will of God. Give God's word back to him. especially in this hour, because our nation is facing opposition. Our countries are facing opposition. Leaders are facing opposition. You know, families, marriages, we're all, especially as believers. And so now that you know that we're facing these things, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stand in the gap, pray for us, or are you going to be, you know, just kind of caught up on what you're going to do? That's the time we need to move outside of ourselves and ask God, what is it that you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who you want me to pray for? What country? What nation? What leader? And so don't allow the opposition that the enemy sends you away to shut your mouth to what God has called you to say or do, because then you become rebellious against God. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Stuff.
Awesome.
Praise
awesome.
God.
I just wanted to make sure that if anybody wanted to say anything at this point, you can press 1. If you want pray, press 1. All right, you're good. We are good. I don't know if Lovey has anything else to say. I'm here trying to someone press 1? Okay. Caller. Hello. Hello. Caller. 80 912. 912. You want to say something? Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
I am so thankful for being able to call today, because this is exactly what I was going through, and it gave me some encouragement, and I just want to let you guys know how much encouragement that y'all gave me, because I was going through a situation today in reference to this.
Can I ask your name?
Yes, this is
Carla. Hi, how you doing, love?
Praise it.
Thank you for calling in, love.
I'm doing all right. I was trying to reach out to my pastor, the church I've been going to, and she wouldn't reach out to me. She wouldn't call me. She got somebody else to call me. And I prayed to God about it, and as I said, God told me that I must make the first move, so I made the first move, and she still didn't contact me. So I just feel like that maybe it's time for me to move on before I get discouraged. I don't want to get discouraged, but I feel like I was trying to explain to the other lady that she got to call me, that God sent me there to help her, but she's rejected my help. So I'm in a situation like, you know, what do? I don't want to give up on God. I want to keep, you know, building my relationship with God. And there's another option of another church that needs the same help. So that's where I was at. So this, you know, this talk today gave me some encouragement.
Okay, great. I'm glad it did. You're going to face opposition. And when God has sent you to a place or an assignment, you will face opposition. Everything is not going to go your way. And if God has given you the assignment, you have to stick it out until God says move. Don't you move until God says move. Don't move because of opposition. The only way that I move, I was telling this man, this apostle, that today, I am not moving until God says move. I refuse to, because over my years of ministry and even in my personal walk with the Lord, I'm always sometimes so quick to move because I don't feel a certain way. This person is, things are not going my way. I'm always waiting on the green light or the red light to stop from God, because every time I decide to do things on my own, I screw it up left, right, center. I just screw it up. So from this, I decided until God gives me the green light or the red light, I ain't moving. So I'll stay right here until my Father says move. Okay? So if God tells you move, move. And if God says stay, stick it out, because you don't know what God is building. I was in a ministry. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I was in a ministry for 4 years. I'm going to say it one more time to you. I was in a ministry for 4 years. They didn't use me. I sat at the back. Everybody was being used.
they didn't acknowledge that I exist, really. Just, hi, Angela, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord said to me one day, he said to tell this pastor, this is the fourth year, he told me to tell this pastor, if you have a candle, do you put it under the bed or the bushel? And I told it to the pastor, and the Lord told me, okay, now it's time to move out. And when I moved out, God, he promoted me to minister. One thing about the church, they taught me a lot. I learned a lot. Things happened to the church, but that's not my business. And then I went to another church, and I stood in that church. I can't remember how many years, so I don't know. And I faced opposition. I was called a snake. I wanted this person's man. I ain't even thinking about that man. And people were just accusing me of things. And the Lord told me, daughter, I want to stay in that church for 7 Sundays. And the Lord sent prophets after prophets and warned the pastor to treat me different. And she refused to treat me different. And I went, and me and my girlfriend, who was prophetess boss, we went to that church and I stood my ground. And on the 7th day, God sent 3 prophets, now mind you, 3 prophets to tell the people to change their ways. Nobody listened. And not because I'm great, but God has putting me in a position to take me to the next level. Okay, on the 7th Sunday, the Lord said to me, daughter, I want you to praise me like your Lord, your ever-loving mind. I want you to praise me. I got up in that church, and I praised the Lord, and I praised the Lord. And when the man began to preach, the Lord said to me, daughter, get up now. And he says, as you walk out that door, shake the dust off your feet. But before I walk out that door, believe me, I love my pastor. I used to cook for her. I used to give her financial. I love my church, okay? But I was not treated right. And listen, check this out. When I was walking out the door, are you still there, daughter?
Yes, I'm listening.
Hello? Okay. As I was walking out the door, I'm going to tell you this because sometimes we run from our position and we run from our blessing. As I was walking out the door, the preacher man said, woman of God, I want to say this to you. Now, in front of all my enemies now, he says, you're a woman of God and you're going to have a great teaching ministry. And I said, and I waved my hand. I say, thank you. I went out of that building and got on the floor. Listen to me. Prostrate, the cars are passing, and I'm bawling. And as I, God said, shake the dust. I love these people. God said, shake the dust. And I shook the dust and went on my knees and cried. Cars are passing up and down. This prophet, I'm telling you a true story. This prophet came by and said, daughter, woman of God, I don't understand why I'm going to the store. God sent me to tell you, it is not you, it is them, and their eyes will be open, all right? Now, remember, 7 Sundays after I found out that these people didn't like me and the enemy was just using them, and I stood my ground, and as I got up, he said to me something, he ministered to me, and he said, God said to me, I can call you pastor now. And when I went to, I don't want to hear that. Pastor, are you for real? So I went to different churches everywhere I go. People will call me pastor. They would see me in the back and say, young pastor, that's you right there. Your pastor, God is calling you. And because I stood my ground, because I stood and be obedient to God in the face of opposition, God promoted me even though I run for months and almost a year until I accept my call. And when I accept my call, God set up everything for me to be a pastor. Do you hear me to you? And he set up people to be with me and to help me in ministry. You cannot run from opposition. You must stand your ground. And after that, I became a pastor and move on down the line. And God did each step. Every time that I'm supposed to be promoted, God takes me through the ring. And the reason why he does is that I have to endure to go to the next level. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So don't run until God says run.
That's what, amen? That's what I need to hear. That's amen. That's what I need to hear because I was going to run. I was going to run. And I know I had to stand my ground.
What's the name?
God says move.
Yes. Yes,
what's
ma'am.
Your name again, baby?
My name is Shalonda.
Shalonda?
Yes.
This is Prophet Carolyn. As I was listening to you and listening to Love, and this is what the Lord says in Galatians. I'm going to give you the word. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, just continue to be obedient to him. Because, see, even in spite of what we go through at the church, because the church is just a building, we are the church. In spite of what we go through, in spite of what we face, our service is unto God. And when we honor God faithfully, he always honors us. And so as Apostle was saying, don't you take a step unless the Holy Spirit tells you to take a step. But keep in mind, every church has its issues. I don't care where you go, there every church has its issues. It's like every job has its issues. But you stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to him. You keep on serving him. You keep on honoring him. And when the time comes for you to move, he's going to tell you where to move and where to go to. So you just be encouraged. And you keep that word every day. You say that word. You say that scripture, Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I decree and declare that you will not faint, woman of God. You will stand on the promises of God, and what God has for you is for you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
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 We love
Thank
you and
you
God
for sharing
bless
that.
We love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony. God bless you. And I will definitely, and we will definitely be praying for you, love. Okay?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Everybody set? If everybody's set, we will be prayed out. Anybody else? Keisha, anybody? Are we all set?
One more.
Okay. One more. What's the last number?
Two more. Well, this is 804.
804.
Hello?
804. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Mother.
Good afternoon, Mother.
Oh, wow. Good afternoon. giving honor to God. I really appreciate y'all, both of your messages. And I know God is working with me with my word ration because I always worry about my family in Texas. I am a mother and I fear I'm human. So I am going to kind of push it a little bit or just have to call them to see if they're okay. And as far as the lady just called, because talking about her church, I feel almost the same way because I have been in my church for 6 to 7 years. And I want the old church the way the old church used to be. And I know that's impossible because things changes and people changes. I'm not perfect, and I know God is working with me, and it feels good to know that I have changed in some ways, but I still cannot get away from how people treat the people that's coming to church, and I feel like there should be love in there with everybody. Nobody should be looking down because of what they put in the plate or what they don't have. I love my church. And Carla was also raised up in the church like I was. But I just pray for the pastor and pray for some of the other people. I know I'm not going for people. I understand that. But it just hurts me because I come to be staying with the word, not rolling eyes or halfway speaking or anything. It's not everybody. It's just some. And I know I have to work on and pray on that too. And you're right. I shouldn't just stop going. Sometimes I might go to another church or listen to the radio, but it's not the same. And I really appreciate you all's program, but I just hard for me to explain it because I'm not really a kind of shy girl and know how I am. But
she's not shy. Lovey, she's not shy, Lovey. She's not shy. I told Lovey, you're not shy. Lovey, she's
I'm
not
shy.
You're not shy. No, Mama. You're not shy.
I'm not understanding, sweetie.
Just keep it real, Mama. You're not shy. But go ahead. Keep giving your testimony.
I am shy to a certain extent. But anyway, excuse me. I know God is working with me, and I know it's going to get better. And I'm just so proud of my daughter. And I'm so thankful to God for changing her life. And I see, because she always been a good child. You know, sometimes we get caught up in things. Like back in the day, I got caught up in things, and something really bad happened to her. And I was kind of afraid because her father had always told me that he was going to take her away from me. He didn't have no reason to do that, but I was just afraid of him. And thank God he was the only man and that I got away from that dealt with me like that. And, my husband, he's really good. I know he's not my daughter's really father, but he always loved her and been there for her.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
You know, that means a whole lot. But I went through a change, and it caused me to go through a change. And so when I think I kind of pushed my child out there the wrong way, not knowing that was going to happen to her. But she I'm just so proud of her because God touched her in the way that I want to be touched. And I know that he's going to touch me the same way or even more better. You know, all of us is trying to be in good grace with God. I've never, forgotten God. I always kept God with me. Even I was at the clubs every New Year's. If I'm at a club at 12 o'clock, everybody dancing and drinking and having fun, I leave them. I separate myself, used to separate myself from them and go into the bathroom and thank God for another year, because I know that year was the only way that I could get through was through the grace of God, because I couldn't do it by myself. And the same is now. I know I can't do things. I'm not a bad person. I just have to get away from the vibration. And now that I know that my family in Texas are fine, they are right and everything. But you a mother as well. Carl is a mother as well. Even though your children are so many miles away, I just can't walk, go to the house or drive over there and throw my arms around them. I know God got them. I trust God with them. And I know that they have God with them. But it's different with me. One, and I know I shouldn't. She gets on me all the time about this. I just want y'all, and she always do, pray for me, try to get this vibration away from me, because really, that's what the devil wants. I don't want what the devil wants.
Amen.
I want to stomp the devil up under my feet. You know,
amen.
I ain't trying to get with the devil, but this is something that I'm working on. Just pray for me.
Amen.
Amen.
And I really appreciate, I really appreciate everything.
Okay, thank
you,
Mom. We love you too. Amen.
Love you. We'll definitely be praying for you, and thank you for calling. We love you. God bless you. We will be praying
for you.
Thank you.
This is the first time I tried and really got on the first or the second time. Because every time I try to get on, the devil started with me. Either the phone cut off or y'all be gone by the time I get it. So
well,
it was meant for me to get in
this
one.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And I'm not going to talk because I know y'all are out of time. So.
Okay. All right, Mom.
Thank
we love you.
Right.
Amen.
Love
y'all.
God bless y'all.
God bless you. Next call.
Thank you. God bless you and your family.
God bless you too, Mom. God bless you.
Thank you.
Next caller. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Next caller. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Apostle.
Hi, how you doing, sweetheart? Thank
Good
you for
evening.
Joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I support you all the way. This
Amen.
Is Cassandra. I just wanted to, the woman I was speaking in reference to running from her problems, I go back to the conversation, remember I told you, Apostle, how I felt like running from dealing with certain situations in my own personal life. And
right.
that desire it kind of manifested in me. I still had that desire to, like, want to run. I felt hopeless and ready to give up. And then today I turned on the TV, and it was the word of Sarah Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, she ran from the labor of Sarah, and how God sent her back when she was in the wilderness. So what I got from that was we can run, but we only delay ourselves. And eventually, just like with Jonah and Moses, God will send us back to do his will. So rather we have the desire to run or not, it's not up to us. It's God's will for us to face what he has built us up to do. So I wanted to encourage that woman to just, you know, seek God in prayer and ask God, you know, to lead her and guide her and to just do his will. She will be okay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I received that. Thank you, honey. Thank you for that encouragement and to encourage others. And that's what we go through for, is to encourage others. And there's a thing called a running spirit.
Yeah.
You've got to rebuke and bind that spirit in the name of
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, baby. Thank you for calling in. All right, lovey.
Amen. I'm here, lovey.
Yep. It's good that your mom got through. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Yeah. I told her she better go in and write that book. Now you know what I mean. I love her.
Amen. Amen. She's lovable. She's lovable. She's lovable. She's a sweet woman. Oh, my goodness. She made my day by the sweet words she says. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, anyway, we're going to close up because I think that I need my meds.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. All right. Oh God, what an awesome show tonight. Yes. Yes. Father, thank you for this hour, Lord God. We just bless your name and we honor you, Father. We lift up every caller to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that a great manifestation would take place in their lives, Father, as they yield themselves to you. Father, we bind every spirit of fear and worry and doubt in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you just open the ears of them, of your children, Father God, so they may hear what it is that you are saying to them, Father God. I just pray a special blessing over those who are encountering oppositions within the church, Father God. Mm-hmm. Remind them, Lord God, that, Father God, that they go to church, to the building, to honor you, Father God. But remind them, Lord God, that we are the church, Father God. And I pray in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus, Lord God, that whatever they come against at the individual places that they visit, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you shelter over them, that you cover them, Father God, that you encourage them, Father God, that you give them strength, give them wisdom, Father God. And if you would have for them to move, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will not make a move until they have seek your face, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, Father God, for every leader, every teacher, every pastor. Father God, we repent. I repent, Father God. We repent, God, as leaders, Father God, for hurting the people, Father God, when they're coming
yeah.
to us, Father God, to find healing in you, Lord God. Father, forgive us, Lord God, for treating them worse than the world does, God. Forgive us, Lord God. Lord God, we can't separate ourselves because we are one, Lord God. But we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would use us, the ones who are willing to stand up for the people, Father God, that you would continue to use us in a mighty way to stand boldly, Father God, to help them, Father God, along the way, to encourage them along the way. We thank you for just traveling mercy as we went throughout our day today. We just thank you, Father God, for keeping the airways clear. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the rain. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing. Lord God, we bless your name. We honor you and we praise you, and we speak healing over your people tonight. We speak peace, God. Jehovah Shalom, have your way tonight. We speak restoration and rejuvenation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, touch their hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you just saturate yourself on them tonight. Love on them even more tonight. Let them know, Father God. Remind them, Father God, that you have not forgotten them, that you are there,
yes,
Father God. And it doesn't matter where they go to, Lord, that you are there, Lord God. So we thank you, Father God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen, amen, and amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for just your support and for your love. Thank you, Mom, for coming on and sharing your testimony. Thank you, Cassandra. Thank you, my other caller. I always say her name wrong, so I ain't going to say it, but she knows who I'm talking about. I appreciate you coming on. Florence, did I say right? Well, she knows who I mean. Me and her talk on Facebook, and I just want to encourage her that God got good things for her. Don't run. Stand your ground. God loves
Amen.
You. We love you. And God bless you. And thank
God
you,
bless
you,
all.
Of you for
Amen.
For coming on and sharing with us. Much love. Peace.
Amen.
Out.
Love you guys. Amen.
Amen.